What's up, guys? Faruqi Bros here, back with another podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing Marvel's Phase 4 slate that they just announced tonight at San Diego Comic-Con. So to introduce myself, I'm Editor-in-Chief Shiraz Faruqi, and I'm joined by my brother, Zayan.
What's up, guys?
My cousin, Umar.
Hey, everyone.
And my other cousin, Samir.
What's up?
So, like I said, Kevin Feige and the Marvel crew were just on stage in Hall H, at the San Diego Comic-Con panel, the biggest event of the year for comic-related news. And they basically dropped the first half of the Marvel Phase 4 slate. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the entire slate one by one, and we'll discuss what we're excited for and what our basic thoughts are for the movie. So, you know, we can go in order of release. The next movie that's actually releasing is the Black Widow movie, right? So, Zion, why don't you tell me what you thought, what you think about Black Widow? It takes place between Civil War and Infinity War. So, kind of, what are you thinking for this?
Well, did it just announce that in Comic-Con that where it takes place, the timeline?
Yeah, they just announced taking place.
That's Civil War. Yeah, I mean, that changed everything because all the theories we talked about in our old podcast, stuff like that, was either going to be a super prequel. I know they're going to have scenes in the past, but now they actually put a set timeline where it's going to take place. I mean, I'm excited for it. I don't know. Since it does take place in between Infinity War and Civil War, it's not like they can do, outside of a personal character arc, they can't really do a lot for the story. So I'm just excited to see how they handle a character and how deep they go with
it. In my opinion, I'm going to go through quite fast. A lot of movies to get through, so I'm going to go through pretty fast. But in my opinion, for Black Widow, this is the most by-the-numbers film of this Phase 4. I think this Phase 4 slate is the most ambitious slate that they made in the history of Marvel, where they're really taking risks with characters, trying new things. But Black Widow feels like a straight out of Phase 2 movie. Like, for me, it feels like I'm least excited about it only because it feels like, all right, like we saw it already. Like, it's going to be maybe a shade version of Winter Soldier. So I don't know. So I'm excited for it, but I think from a slate this ambitious, this looks like the most like the old school regime kind of thing. Umar, give me your quick thoughts on Black Widow.
My thoughts are the same as they've always been. I've wanted a Black Widow movie for a while. I think a lot of us have. Samir, why are you laughing? Samir's wanted a Black Widow movie more than anybody in this world.
We're all. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like there's a bit of a little too late kind of feeling with this movie. Like, this is a movie that should have been out by Phase 1. Phase 2 max. Like, the fact that it's coming out Phase 4 and Black Widow's already dead in the continuity, like, you're kind of like, this is the wrong time to do it, you know? You should have actually released it after Civil War.
It still could be a good film. I think that's what they're going for. Just they want to make, and this is what they're good at, make individual good films. Okay, good to okay films. Okay to good films. And then you see what happens. So, Black Widow, yeah.
You're right. They should have put this movie. They should have put this movie before Endgame.
Before I would think after Civil War, just put it.
Honestly, after Infinity War, before Endgame, if they just slotted it in, that would have been fine. Like, you get her backstory, you get her character arc, and then she dies. That's it. It's done. Like,
yeah, I agree.
It's unnecessary. Actually, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, or they could have played it. They could have played it as is, like in the continuity right after Civil War. Release Black Widow. But
yeah, they should put it after Civil War because they need to release Captain Marvel right after thing. In between Infinity War and Endgame.
That's true. So they got squeezed for time. Alright, so let's move to the next movie. So, actually, between the next movie is the TV show Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And Anthony Mackie has confirmed that he has tried on his version of the Captain America suit. So this show is really epilogue to Endgame. Like, if people are looking for another more Endgame continuation, this show is only a few episodes, not like it's a full Game of Thrones series. It's only going to be 6-7 episodes max. But it's going to cover Falcon and Winter Soldier taking up the mantle of Captain America and going against up against Baron Zemo from Civil War. And that actor is also reprising his role for this show. So, quick thoughts. Samir, you can go first. What do you think about the show? Are you excited for it?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm excited only because we're finally going to see Captain America, like, someone hold the shield again. So it's like, I don't know what his role is going to be in the long term, but at least we get to see the direct repercussions, you know? Like,
Captain America died, dude.
I know, but just like every character, just like every character, like Thor, Thor's probably going to, I think Thor's going to die in the next movie, too.
No.
Okay, never. You see that logo? Nobody's dying in that movie.
No, I think Thor's going to die in that movie. And he's going to give the shield.
Listen, the logo looks like Thundercats.
All right, we'll get to it. But I think this show could be good. I think it's going to be like Winter Soldier in terms of tone. Like, it's going to be like very much like...
espionage.
Yeah, stuff, yeah, exactly. It's going to be based like that.
I think I'm the least excited for this one. I'm just not excited.
Yeah, I'm surprised you are because you're the most biggest... I think from the four of us, you're the biggest Endgame fan of this group. So I'm surprised you're not excited for this because this takes place literally minutes after Endgame. This is a direct continuation of Endgame. No other movie on this slate is connected to Endgame except for this one.
Listen, I'm like, listen, let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you in your own kind of language, Roz. I'm like the fans that love Christopher Reeve and don't want to see anybody else ever wear the cape again.
Yeah,
like
but this is important.
So that's why.
No one's playing Steve Rogers. He's playing Captain America, different people. But either way, all right. You have any more thoughts on that or no? We can move on to the next one.
No.
All right. So those, in my opinion, were the two most generic things on this entire slate. The two most generic things are Black Widow and this Falcon Winter Soldier show. Everything from now on, I think, is going to be very experimental and very different. So let's go to the next movie that's coming out, and that's The Eternals, okay? So The Eternals actually has a freaking star-studded cast. I mean, they got, like, a lot of big names to headline this movie, right? So... Samir, I can start with you again on this one. Are you excited for The Eternals? Like, what are you thinking about this movie?
I am excited for The Eternals. Only because I saw the cast. I actually don't know anything about The Eternals.
But yeah, what cast are you most excited for?
Bro, I'm trying to see Angelina Jolie.
I'm saying, how did they get a freaking A-plus lister? Literally get A-plus, like, actress for this movie. I'm surprised. Like, people like Angelina Jolie don't do, like, these kind of movies. I'm surprised she's doing
it. Yo, didn't you see freaking Maleficent? It was freaking lit.
Yeah, but she doesn't do superhero movies. This is a big thing. So I think, for you guys to know, Eternals is kind of like the New Gods movie, except they're doing their version first. Jack Kirby, who made both the New Gods and this. So picture the Eternals like the dark sides of that. Like, there's a rumor that young Thanos might be in this movie. So...
Dude, that would be freaking lit.
Because it might cover that side of the world, like where Thanos came from, Titan, all that stuff. The Eternals is kind of connected to that as well. So if you guys are interested in more of Thanos, there's some rumors he will be in this movie. So
wasn't Josh Brolin signed for more movies?
Yeah, he was. So I think he might show up for more.
It's only logical they fit him in here.
Yeah. So what about you, Zion? Excited for Eternals? What are your thoughts on
it? Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. As you can see, obviously there hasn't been a lot of news about how it's going to be besides obviously the casting. This is obviously a much more experimental film. I guess the closest resemblance is Guardians of the Galaxy when it first came out. But obviously Marvel always deliver on some level, so I'm confident they'll do well with the film.
Alright, so to give you guys a date, Black Widow's coming out May 1st, 2020. Falcon and Winter Soldier is coming out Fall 2020. The Eternals is coming out November 8th, 2020. So these are the three things for next year. So for next year's MCU, those are the three things that are happening, all right? Let's go to 2021 now, the year after. The first movie of 2021 is going to be Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So, Umar, you want to start with us off? What do you think about Shang-Chi?
I think Shang-Chi is going to be lit, and it's about time we get an Asian character in the mix. Although, do they have any Asian characters in the mix?
Everyone's going to be Asian, actually. The main villain of this movie...
He's not talking about the film. He's talking about so far in the MCU.
Oh, not really, actually.
Yeah, there actually hasn't been.
Yeah, I think it was a side character, Ant-Man.
Wong, bro.
Wong. Yeah, Wong from Doctor Strange.
Some, like, side character. He's a side character.
There's no lead.
All right, so then how about this? I'll give him this question. We all know Iron Man 3, right? And in Iron Man 3, the Mandarin twist was that the real one's out there, but we never saw him. Well, the Mandarin is going to be the main villain of this movie. So are you guys finally, it's an open question, anyone can go.
Okay.
Are you excited to see the Mandarin show up finally?
Yes, I am. And I want to say one thing, okay? Iron Man 3 was shit, but when the guy was evil, before he became a pimp, dude, that guy was a good actor, bro.
Yeah.
That guy was good.
He did a good job.
They made him into like an extremist whatever, and that guy was a very good actor, but unfortunately, they just didn't go his way.
Yeah, I know. But to jump in, this is, I feel like this is the perfect way. I mean, that whole thing, that whole like twist or whatever, was one of the worst things in the MCU in my opinion. And that like other fake fire Mandarin whatever guy, he was one of the worst, most forgettable villains.
Yeah.
This is the best way they can really right the wrong done there.
Yeah.
And give us like a real Mandarin that Iron Man fans with comics will love.
Yeah, the only bittersweet thing is that the Mandarin is one of Iron Man's greatest villains, and we never got to see Iron Man actually fight him. Like, it's going to end up being Shang-Chi, which will be fine, but this is an Iron Man villain, and Iron Man himself. Like, we never got to see Tony Stark square off against the real Mandarin, which is a shame. Any other thoughts, Samir? Any thoughts on Shang-Chi?
Not really. Okay. You said it.
All right, great. So, okay, let's go to the next one, and Samir, I'm going to make you talk with this. The next thing is going to be a TV show, and it's WandaVision, coming spring 2021. All right, so this will take place, from my estimation, between Civil War and Infinity War, like covering what the two of them are doing during that time, you know, because in Infinity War, you see they're living together in what country, some country they're covering, I think France or whatever.
Yeah, in Civil War, they just fought.
And in Civil War, they fought. So there's a lot to cover in between, like how they kind of fell in love or whatever the case might be.
And
so,
how Wanda doesn't have an accent anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So all that stuff, Samir, tell me what, give me your raw thoughts on WandaVision.
I think it's the most useless show out of all of them. And,
no, actually, they said more things.
They said, yeah, I'll lead into it in the next one. Yeah, but they're saying that WandaVision. Wanda herself is going to have... Wanda's her name?
Yeah.
All right, so Wanda herself is going to have an important character arc that's going to lead into a future movie. And we can talk about it right now because we're going to stay on this topic for a while, I think.
What's the villain for that?
I have no idea. I think it's going to be more like a rom-com, honestly. But
I think it's going to be just as...
I don't think so. They said it was heavily going to tie into the movie to Doctor Strange.
Unless they get another... We'll get into it. All right. Now we're talking about the heavy hitter, right? This is the heavy hitter now, okay? May 7th, 2021. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, all right? The same director is coming back. Scott Derrickson, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He is teasing this will be pretty much a horror movie. He's saying he's going to put a lot of horror elements into it. Obviously, multiverse, which means we're covering the whole gambit now. Spider-Verse is something similar. So we're talking about different universes, different versions of different characters. And Doctor Strange is in the middle of it. So, Umar, you can take us off from here. What do you think about this movie? Are you excited for Doctor Strange in general?
Yeah, this is going to be freaking litty. And I think the first Doctor Strange as a film was very good. Like, it was the pacing was good. The action was crazy. What the director did was good. And then the Russo brothers obviously took it to a different crazy level on like a more like multifaceted level. And now it seems like Doctor Strange, I honestly think he should be the next like Tony Stark kind of figure in the universe where it's kind of revolved around...
Like the leader.
Him. Yeah, leader, but also the storyline. I think he's the next, like, 5 to 10 years, along with Spider-Man and probably Black Panther. Those three are, like, basically Thor, the new Thor, Cap, and Iron Man. So, and I think Cumberbatch is, like, the actor, obviously, one of the best actors right now. So, yeah, man, the excitement is really... I want to see what they do, obviously... Again, as you said, it's the most ambitious slate now. And a lot of this stuff is, like, we don't actually, at least I can talk for myself, I don't know a lot of the material.
Neither do I. Like, at this point, things like Pico or Doctor Strange, I don't know that much about his villains. The villain, from what I'm reading, is someone called Nightmare. I've not heard of this guy because I'm not really vested in Doctor Strange comics, but I'm sure the word Nightmare and the word multiverse, there could be a lot of good stuff. And from me, it looks like Nightmare actually looks somewhat like Doctor Strange. So maybe he's an alternate version of Doctor Strange. I do not know. That's me guessing. But Zion, you can go ahead. What do you think about Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah, obviously, there's so much hype surrounded around this movie. I think out of everything so far mentioned in the slate, I think...
Do you think this will be like the Winter Soldier of this phase? Like,
yeah, it could be. Yeah, I feel like in this like panel of movies, this is going to be the one like really stand out. I mean, just looking at the name, you can tell this is going to be some visual, like, insane, crazy thing. So, and Nightmare and whatever. So, obviously, they're going to be going more darker, I feel like, in my opinion. Like you said, they're introducing the horror elements, the director is. So, don't know, just everything if we've heard so far of this has me super excited for this more than the rest you've heard so far.
Samir, jump in.
Nightmare is the ruler of the dream dimension.
Damn, that was kind of lit. The dream dimension.
But I hope they don't do that Mysterio thing where it's like, oh, the multiverse, but then actually it's like, there's no multiverse.
Oh, no, I hope they don't. Yeah, I don't think they will. That'll be a bad tease. And honestly, Doctor Strange is the one place where you could do it. But Samir, go ahead. What are you saying? He's like, he works in the dreams or something? What are you saying?
He's a ruler of the dream dimension. That's what now there's like the normal dimension, whatever.
That's what could be kind
of. What were the other ones? I don't know. Dream.
Are you guys going to be nightmare sequences?
All right, so let's talk about this. Samir, I'll keep you on this panel, keep talking. So Scarlet Witch is going to show up in Doctor Strange, right? So she's going to be in this movie. And they're saying her TV show is going to lead right into it. So whatever the last episode of that show is going to be a direct lead-in for the Doctor Strange movie.
Before I jump in, something doesn't add up timeline-wise. What? If that movie takes place before Infinity War, how can it tie into the movie?
I think it's going to take over the whole time. Like, the first few episodes this is going to keep going until the end, you know? And the end is going to finally lead into it.
The last episode will be post-Endgame?
Yeah, maybe she'll be like, oh, yeah. Maybe she's the one person whose power is, like, magic. It's closest to Strange. So maybe she can tap in. I think they're going to try to get Vision back somehow. And maybe Doctor Strange can get him back.
Nightmare's going to use, like, Vision. Like, how Mysterio used Iron Man.
Yo, that could be cool. That'd be freaking fire.
Low-key.
Yeah. All right. Like, and since you said low-key, let's move to the next show, which is low-key. So spring 2021. And Umar, you can give your thoughts first. Spring 2021, the low-key TV show is coming to Disney+. Tom Hiddleston is back as Loki. Yeah. And it takes place after the moment in Endgame where 2012 Loki escaped with his scepter.
The actor's so good that because the actor's that good, I think they'll be this will be good.
Like, so you're saying this is the first TV show you like so far because you were not giving high praises to Winter Soldier or to Scarlet Witch. So are you saying this Loki show?
Obviously, I'm joking. I mean, obviously, I want to see what Sam Wilson does with the mantle of Captain America. But I think this one, I think the actor's so good. Tom Hiddleston is so good as an actor, and he plays Loki so well that I think because of that, I think the show will be good. Obviously, there has to be some substance, and we have to see like where they go. Yeah. But at the same time, I just think the actor's so good that it's very similar to like, it's like Iron Man 3. Like I think Iron Man 3, I can still watch it because RDJ is so.
Yeah, he does a really good performance in that.
Like his performance is still good. So like, sometimes it's not even about like if you have confidence in everything else, like the writers and this and that. But it's more so that because the actor's so good at his specific role, you're still gonna get excited. So
yeah, no doubt about it.
I'm still excited for Loki.
Zam, what do you think about Loki? And more specifically, where do you think they can go with the show? Because it takes place in an alternate universe. Are they gonna try to bring him back to our version of the timeline, or are they gonna keep him there? Just kind of like a fun show to just see what he's up to.
You know, I think the logical thing is to bring him back in some capacity. I think just having him just as like a watcher of watching how things unfold. Obviously, him escaping and not being taken back to Asgard with Thor changed a lot, especially in terms of Thor films. But honestly, this show seems kind of like a waste in my opinion. I don't think, kind of like Black Widow, but it's almost unnecessary. He died in Thor Ragnarok.
Infinity War.
Infinity War. He died in Infinity War. So I don't think, like, this is obviously going to be rooted in comedy. Where else could they go with it? So in that sense, it'll be a fun show to watch, but also kind of useless in my opinion. Unless they somehow bring him back and bridge him into the next Thor film.
But wouldn't it hurt Thor's character development? Because with Thor seeing Loki die in Infinity War was so powerful. I think he'll come back again, but the fifth time they do that.
See, you're talking about Thor's character development when Thor's character isn't in that great of a place right now. Like, his character, he was just... Don't forget the last scene of an Endgame where he's like laughing at the Star-Lord saying, like, I'm leader, you know, something like that. Like, that's his character now.
Alright, we'll see. So,
I don't think... And 5 years... A lot of time has passed, obviously, story-wise. So, I mean, if he pops up into their timeline and just, like, something happens in Thor movie. Yeah.
Dude, they're going the only route they can go, and that's Jane Foster. That's the only route they can. There's the only route that makes sense.
And we're getting there, too. We're getting through. We're on Loki right now. We'll get there. All right, so the next one, right? The next movie is a TV show, and we can go quickly on this one. I'm not going to stay much long on it. It's the What If animated series. But it is an animated series. It's going to be very much jokey. It's going to be nothing crazy serious. But it could be something fun to see on the side. All right, next series. I'm going to jump to Samir because I think Samir is the most excited for the show. Fall 2021. Hawkeye TV show's coming out.
What the hell? That's the worst.
All right, so Samir, what do you think about the Hawkeye show? I'll give you one quick thing. The show will take place after Avengers Endgame, and it will cover Hawkeye and his daughter, specifically him trying to give the mantle of Hawkeye to his daughter and let her be the next Hawkeye. That's what the show's going to be about.
I will literally never watch it.
Any of any reasons?
It's the worst. Hawkeye's the worst.
All right, that's a good line. All right, Omer, do you have any...
Isn't he Ronin now?
That's the whole point. Is that he's trying to train his daughter to become Hawkeye.
Yeah, I feel sorry for this guy, bro. I'm sorry, Jeremy. It's over, man. It's over.
Yeah, he got the short end of the stick, it seems. All right. Final movie of the first half of Phase 4, because actually the second half of Phase 4, which will be announced in future years. First half, second half, is the movie we're talking the most about because there's a lot to say. Thor, Love and Thunder, directed by Taika Waititi, as we talked about in our previous video, is coming back, direct sequel to Thor Ragnarok and taking place after Avengers Endgame. We're going to see what Thor is up to. He's coming back. Tessa Thompson is coming back as Valkyrie. And Natalie Portman is coming back as Jane Foster. Big news being, she will get Mjolnir and she will become Lady Thor. Female Thor, right?
So freaking late.
What do you guys think about that? Anyone can take it. Woman, you can take
how
it if you want.
How is the hammer coming back? How is it bringing the hammer back?
I think the hammer will manifest itself for her again. Because if someone new is worthy, then the hammer will show up.
It's not like the freaking sword in Harry Potter, you fool.
Yes, it's exactly that, actually.
The Sword of Gryffindor?
It's actually exactly like that. Or the maker of new hammer. All right, Umar, give me your thoughts quick on this one.
It's going to be freaking lit. And they
you said freaking lit every single one. All right, say something else.
Dude, just give us your real opinion.
The real opinion is when they announced it was kind of shit, but... when they showed that Natalie Portman's coming back, I think that story wasn't kind of completely, they didn't complete it. And also, Thor kind of talked about an endgame, like, you know, you mentioned her and he's like, start crying or something. So, you know, I think, whatever, like, it's going to be one of those movies where it's like, let's see what they do, man. Let's see what
do you think this is like an epilogue for Thor?
The director's freaking amazing. Thor Ragnarok was freaking crazy. Even though I think it was over comedic, but whatever, it worked. Like, it worked. The director knows how to make that style work. So
yeah, this is obviously following that style of the color scheme, the logo. It's directly Taika's style. Like, this is his style. But Samir, I'll actually let you follow up with it and kind of tell me, like, is this the final Thor movie? Like, is this supposed to be the passing of the torch movie where this is his final movie, he'll probably die, and then Jane will become the next Thor for the future of the MCU? Like, is that where you see it's happening, or do you think it's really going to be a joke fest and he's going to be alive the whole movie?
So,
Samir got some say, dog.
Say something.
What? Do I got some say? He's going to be like Odin now?
Dude, yeah, Odin, he's that? Odin's son. Yeah, oh yeah, he could be the king of Asgard, but I think he doesn't want to be, right?
He's not gonna be the king of Asgard.
Valkyrie
is the queen. That's it.
Tessa Thompson is the king of
Asgard. Right, so then Thor's just gonna die. Like I say, his arc is over.
You
said
it.
You said what the movie's gonna be. It's gonna be a complete joke fest, and it's not a bad thing for some people. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, it was funny, but it's actually kind of actually funny. It was a funny film, but the jokes actually landed, which is usually you can't say that for most MCU films. But this film, you can tell from the logo, it's so obvious. This is going to be a complete joke. And
It could have some heart. Remember, Ragnarok was a joke too, but that one scene where he's talking to his dad, and he's like, oh yeah, what are you, the god of hammers?
You can have heart. But the thing about...
That was a good scene. That was a sick scene.
The thing about Natalie Portman being Thor, I don't think she's going to lock herself into an MCU contract for future films.
Yeah, no. Like, once she does movie, she's just going to do Avengers 5, and that's it.
I think she's going to get it, but then she'll probably just like give it up or something.
What the hell? She's gonna be the whole time.
I don't think so. I think It'll be kind of like, you know, remember All-Star Superman where Lawson got powers?
Oh, no. It's not like that because in the comics, she's still Thor. They're going to do it for real.
I know, but I feel like this movie, everything seems so jokey. But regardless, if she stays as Thor, which is fine, I think that'll be pretty cool. This movie is going to be jokes.
Meaning, if she stays as Thor, do you think, like, what is our Thor's, like, Odin's son's role? He has no role. So I think he's best to die.
I think he should die, but I think he's just going to stay with the Guardians.
Maybe. Yeah. That could be what they do. Yeah.
As Guardians.
Yeah, they didn't announce as Guardians.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right, so now we have covered all the
movies. No, we did not.
Yeah, we're going to cover... I'm trying to talk about the slate, then we'll talk about everything else. Then we cover the slate. The slate that
announced. Yeah, but there's one big movie.
There's still one big movie, which is not on the slate we cover in a second. So let's talk about these first. So Black Widow, May 1st, 2020. Falcon, Fall 2020. Eternals, November 6th, 2020. Shang-Chi, February 12th, 2021. WandaVision, Spring 2021. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, May 7th, 2021. Loki, Spring 2021. What If is Summer 2021. Hawkeye is Fall 2021. And then finally, Thor, Love and Thunder is November 5th, 2021. Okay? That's the slate.
They're freaking taking over these 2 years.
Bro. Honestly, yeah, they're doing a good job. And now, let's talk about all the movies they didn't announce a date for, but they confirmed they're making. They are still making a Fantastic Four movie, and they're making an X-Men movie. Again, X-Men, I think they're not announcing it because they want to wait for people to forget about Dark Phoenix and forget about those cast members, because they're obviously going to reboot the cast. And Fantastic Four, I think, is going to come out soon. But there is one character that is getting a freaking reboot, and he's coming to the MCU, and they got the best cast possible for him, and that's Blade. Blade is coming to the MCU, and they got Mahershala Ali to play Blade. What a sick casting, dude.
The freaking GOAT.
Dude, this is the... I'm telling you...
This is the best news.
They struck gold. This is the perfect casting they've made since... I don't know when. Actually, on face value, it's the best casting. Because when they casted RDJ or Chris Evans, they're taking a gamble. Nobody knew.
Don't be dumb,
but
dude.
This guy will kill the role 100%.
Oh, he will. Like,
100%.
Mahershala, I'm telling you, I can't sing enough praises for this guy. He is... the actor of actors, man. He filmed any role. Like, Luke Cage, he was good. First of all, this confirms Luke Cage is not MCU anymore, or OL, but he's playing two roles in the same universe, which means one doesn't count, which means Luke Cage no longer counts. But
They should have cast Idris Elba.
Idris, yeah, they could have, but Idris is also playing that guy from Thor, right? He died already.
Oh, yeah.
Heimdall, so...
That's a waste of cast.
Loki, they wasted him too. But
that's a waste of cast.
Blade, we haven't seen him for a while. The Blade movie was actually what you consider one of the Godfather movies of superheroes, because after the Christopher Reeve movies came out and the Batman movies came out, there was a bit of a drought before Spider-Man took over the Raimi films. Before Spider-Man, there was a rated R Blade trilogy, three Blade movies, all by Wesley Snipes, who played the character. So those films were actually kind of like the original kind of ushering in of Marvel before Spider-Man and eventually X-Men took over, and now the MCU is born. So the fact that we are getting Blade in the MCU and Mahershala is playing him is honestly probably the coolest news of this year's SDCC for me.
You know, honestly, I know we shouldn't talk about DC, but Warner Bros. Made a huge mistake.
I'm telling you, they dropped
getting
the freaking
this guy
ball.
From day one. Because
dude. He was built for Martian Manhunter, and they didn't get him.
Yo, man, can we just address the fact that this is how I think if you're making a universe, this is how you're supposed to go about it.
Yeah, you know, you announce it, everything's excited.
Everything, your fans know exactly what's coming out, when it's coming out, who's playing who, everything is perfect. When you put it in
it's
a freaking report somewhere. And people are fighting over what the report means. That's stupid, bro. Straight up.
Yeah,
the transparency that Marvel and Disney give is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking to the fans.
That's what you want.
They're not going through news publications or trades. All you want is transparency. If somebody doubly can't do that.
Yeah, and this is you want Kevin Feige. He's a leader. He shows up on stage. He announces everything with his voice in person. Marvel and DC, no one's showing up. You know, what are your overall thoughts on the slate, and how does it compare to past slates? What is your outlook for the MCU now? Remember, there was a lot of confusion after Endgame. What do they do now? What is the MCU going to do after Endgame, which was the culmination of the Infinity Saga, which is what they coined the term now. Officially, every movie from Phase 1 to 3 is called the Infinity Saga. All right. So how do you guys think, I'll start with Zion, like, what do you think about Phase 4 in general, like looking at it from the whole thing now?
Well, clearly it's the most experimental, and it's basically a new Phase 1. Like, every other phase was just a continuation of what we had. This, almost everything is either most things are brand new, so there's a different level of excitement coming with it, and uncertainty, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, that's basically it. More to say, they're trying new things.
So excited for it.
I'm excited for it. Let's see where it goes.
All right, Umar, what about you?
I'm with John. Pretty excited for the slate, but I do think that because it's the most experimental, I think it's going to struggle the most. I don't think it's going to be as good as some of the other phases. But in hindsight, I mean, again, like, the MCU, it was built, they built it up so well. The foundation is so strong that you're kind of not forced, but, like, you want to know where these characters are going now. Like, they did such a good job with each character. And even the ones they didn't do a good job in, you still care about them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you don't, like, we're still going to watch, like, a lot of the stuff, so... Because the other phases they went a certain way and the Vision went a certain way, you're in it now. Like, you're emotionally attached to a lot of the characters.
All right.
So I think they'll do well. I think it'll struggle a little bit, but I think they'll be just fine.
All right. Samir, what about you?
What do I think with the Phase 4?
Yeah, overall, like overall Phase 4, and then, yeah, overall Phase 4.
Aside from the TV show so far, I guess I'm excited for all the movies, but I don't know about TV shows. Yeah, sucked.
So you're half and half on the TV shows. Now, I'm actually with all you guys. I think this is the most experimental, even the most ambitious phase, because the MCU is funny, because when the MCU started, they did not have access to Spider-Man, the X-Men, or Fantastic Four, or which were considered the A-list superheroes for Marvel. Like, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember, but in the 90s when we were kids, no one cared about Iron Man or Captain America. These were garbage characters.
Yeah, Iron Man was like a D-lister.
The only characters people cared about as a kid, when we were little, and even when we were in the 2000s, the characters people cared about for Marvel was Spider-Man and Wolverine. That was it. So they built the MCU with C-class characters. Captain America, Iron Man, the first MCU movie, was a C-class character. And they made him into a freaking billion-dollar asset that even Superman and Batman can't touch. Right?
Listen, if DC's smart, the best chance right now to take over completely is right now. This is the best chance. But they're so freaking dumb, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're not going to be able to do it. But this, like, this next phase, I'm telling you, Marvel's going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, they're I think DC has a chance.
Every movie's not going to make $1 billion. Like, they're going to struggle a little bit. So in this area, this is where DC can kind of establish their own way.
You made a good point. Like, making films. You made a good point. We just saw these are the 4 or 5 movies that are coming out in the next 2 years. In the same 2 years, DC is putting out Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey, Aquaman 2, and Batman. They actually have not a bad slate. Announced it, but they don't have a bad group of movies.
On paper, that's a better list.
Yeah,
it's a more tried and true list.
Yeah, so last point before we wrap up. What movie are you most excited for in Phase 4? Quickly, just go quick. Zion, what's your most excited movie?
Blade.
Blade? All right, Samir, what about you?
Doctor Strange.
All right, Umar?
We'll go with Thor.
All right, so Zion picked Blade, Samir picked Doctor Strange, Umar picked Thor, and I will go with Samir and also pick Doctor Strange. I think Doctor Strange will be the most interesting of this, all right? Hey.
Yeah, well, dude, Doctor Strange obviously will be the most craziest, but
it's the most tied to everything else.
Yeah, it's
the most tied to everything else.
So, what do you guys think about Marvel Phase 4? What is your favorite movie from this bunch? What are you most excited for, and what are you least excited for? Let us know in the comments below. As always, you can follow us on Twitter and on Comic Book Debate, and check a look at our website. It has all the latest articles, and of course, subscribe and keep hearing more from us from our various channels and partners. So from myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, this is the Faruqi Bros. We'll see you next time. Peace out.